Josh Easton here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2024, the 17th of Adar Bet, 5784, coming to you today from beautiful Gush Etzion in the hills of Judea, just south of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the State of Israel and the Jewish people. Hope you are well. Hope you are safe in your part of the world. For those of you who celebrated the holiday of Purim this week, hope you had a meaningful chag, a meaningful holiday. It certainly was a little bit different this year. The fact that we are at war right now with Hamas down in Gaza, with so many Israelis, so many Jews murdered, the loss of the lives of so many soldiers, and the fact that our hostages remain in the hands of the evil, which is Hamas. So a little bit less, I would say, in terms of the festivities this year. But it's still a Jewish holiday. You still must celebrate all of the commandments associated with the special day of Purim. So hope you had a meaningful Purim this year. And of course, our enemies, they don't subside on the Jewish holidays. October 7th, Simchat Torah was the obvious one. And on Purim also, you had rockets being launched at the State of Israel. Over the weekend, you had other terrorist attacks taking place. And just here this morning, Wednesday morning, an Israeli Druze was killed in a Hezbollah rocket attack. Hezbollah fired about 30 rockets across the northern border on Wednesday morning from Lebanon. A 25-year-old Israeli man, a Druze citizen of the State of Israel, who was in the town of Kiryat Shmona, was killed in the attack. And Hezbollah, of course, taking responsibility, saying it was in response to an Israeli airstrike overnight in southern Lebanon. From what I understand, 7 terrorists were killed in that strike, and Israel prevented a large-scale cross-border terror operation. That's why Israel struck Hezbollah yesterday, and there's a little less evil in the world as a result of that. But, of course, Hezbollah then uses that as an excuse, and, you know, they don't need excuses. They fired Israel all the time. They fired thousands of rockets since the start of this war. Again, we're not even talking about Hamas. We're talking about the Hezbollah rockets. And one Israeli, may God avenge his blood, was killed in this morning's Hezbollah attack. So that is the latest news, and certainly the most important item this week in Israel and throughout the world, really, the United States, Israel's best friend, right? The American people certainly are our best friends, but the Biden administration, I think, this time crossed the line, and I'm referring to the United States allowing what I would call a pro-Hamas UN Security Council resolution to pass. Israeli government officials, as reported by JNS, were near unanimous on Monday in their condemnation of the UN Security Council resolution, which demanded a 2-week halt to the war against Hamas till the end of Ramadan. Prime Minister Netanyahu slammed the U.S. decision to refrain from exercising its veto power. So by the U.S. abstaining, essentially, was an approval, because if they don't veto it, then the resolution passes, non-binding, by the way. But nevertheless, the prime minister canceled the departure of a high-level delegation that was supposed to fly to Washington this week to talk about Israel's upcoming military operation in Rafah. Israel must go into Rafah and destroy the final Hamas terrorist battalions. So what's wrong with the resolution? What did it not do? Well, first and foremost, the resolution failed to condemn Hamas. It didn't mention Hamas at all. It didn't have the word Hamas in the resolution. Secondly, it did not include a hostage release as part of a ceasefire. It mentioned the hostages and mentioned the releasing of the hostages. But if you understand this and pay attention to it carefully, it did not list the release of the hostages as part of the actual ceasefire, which was proposed. So it did not do that. And I think most telling of this resolution is the fact that Hamas celebrated it, and that says it all. The fact that Hamas was happy with the resolution and, you know, believed that this is the start towards a permanent ceasefire, which actually would be a loss in the war for Israel, which would it would leave Hamas in power. The fact that Hamas celebrated it says it all. And then, of course, right away, Hamas responded to the passing of the UN resolution with demands. We'll call them maximalist demands. They got even more extreme in terms of what they want. And that is a direct result, no doubt, because of the UN Security Council resolution. So Hamas told mediators that it wants a permanent ceasefire. It openly praised the UN Security Council resolution. And then, of course, accused Israel of not wanting peace, blah, blah, blah. You can't trust Hamas or anything. They're holding 130-plus Israeli hostages. They're holding Israeli, the bodies of those who they murdered. Hamas cannot be relied on for anything, and somehow they're seen as like this legitimate entity by so much of the world. And you have so many Jew and Israel haters out there who are siding with Hamas. And the United States right now essentially gave Hamas a hall pass to continue their terrorist activity. There was a win for Hamas, this resolution, a show of, if you will, support for Hamas, essentially giving them a lifeline, certainly a propaganda victory for Hamas. And as I said before, I think this is the straw that broke the camel's back. Again, the U.S. and Israel, of course, still have a strong bond. I mean, at the same time as all this is going on, Israeli Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant is in the United States meeting with his counterparts over there, along with U.S. Secretary Blinken, and all these other guys who are telling Israel that they shouldn't go into Rafah. There should not be a full force military operation. So on that front, the U.S. is on the wrong side as well, because it is necessary. But my point was that, you know, the relationship is certainly not severed, but really, really, in my opinion, harmed the fact that the U.S. did not stand up for Israel at the most critical, perhaps the most critical time so far of this war. Again, Gallant, Yoav Gallant, the defense minister in the U.S., Anthony Blinken was quoted as saying that, or his spokesman was quoted as saying on his behalf, that he underscored that alternatives exist to a major ground invasion in Rafah that would better ensure Israel's security and protect Palestinian civilians. So how can not finishing off Hamas ensure Israel's security? I'd like to understand that. And it's either you do or you don't. There aren't these halfway operations, as the U.S. suggests. It has to be a full-on destruction of Hamas. There's no middle ground here. Anyone who tells you there's a middle ground wants to keep Hamas afloat. And sadly, based on these comments, that's where we are right now. That's where the U.S. Secretary of State Blinken is right now. That's where the Biden administration is right now. They want to keep them afloat, whether it's for votes in Michigan come November, you know, who knows, but they, for some reason, would like to keep Hamas afloat, and that is absolutely not acceptable. So we talked about the North, we talked about the South, and in Judea and Samaria, it looks like Iran was trying to create a scenario where another October 7th massacre was possible, and I'm talking about the fact that Israeli security on Monday revealed that it had thwarted Iranian attempts in recent months to smuggle advanced weapons into Judea and Samaria. So here's the Judea and Samaria front. I saw these weapons on the news. They had them lined up, and the shipments were to be delivered, as reported by JNS, to terror operatives for use against Israeli targets. And we're talking about a major amount of weapons. And thank God the IDF, along with the security agencies, uncovered this plot and thwarted the handing over of these advanced weapons to the terror organizations in Judea and Samaria, whether it's Hamas, whether it's Fatah, whether it's the PIJ. They're all terror groups. Apparently a Syrian anti-Israel terrorist organization was involved in the plot as well. Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. And, you know, thank God this happened. Imagine, God forbid, if RPGs were in the hands of terrorists overlooking 75% of Israel's population centers in the greater Tel Aviv area, from Gadera to Hadera and Ben Gurion Airport. We saw that Hamas on October the 7th, we saw them using RPGs targeting civilians, firing at cars with families in them in Sderot. And as horrible as that is, as terrible as that is, imagine if they were on the hilltops overlooking our airport and if they had the ability to fire at passenger jets. And that would be the reality. Anyone who says that Israel should create this so-called two-state solution or turn over land for peace, we've done enough of that, folks. This is what you're going to get. And Gaza and October 7th is proof of that. You turn over land, they become launching pads for terrorism. They become launching pads for rockets and missiles and RPGs and all the rest. Okay, so let's not go down that path again, even if the Biden administration repeats it over and over again. Let's stick to our guns. Let's stay strong and not allow the creation of a state, which would be an existential threat to the state of Israel. Let's not allow that to happen. Turning our attention back to Gaza, the Hamas terrorists have regrouped in the Shifa hospital in Gaza City. So over the past week or so, the IDF has been busy eliminating terrorists. Over 170, as reported by JNS, Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists have been killed in firefights around this hospital. Another 500 apprehended, and a large amount of weapons have been confiscated. And a lot of them were hidden in MRI machines, in the maternity wards. And I didn't hear the UN condemn that. And I'm certain the UN isn't going to condemn Hezbollah firing rockets at Israel this morning in the attack in which an Israeli was murdered. So these terrorists apparently made their way back north. Again, the focus is on Khan Yunis and Rafah in the south. Terrorists making their way back up north, regrouping, and Israel, thank God, eliminating many, many terrorists and arresting also a large number of these terrorists who made it back to the Shifa hospital. Waiting for the UN condemnation on this, using a hospital, hiding amongst patients in a hospital in times of war. Even if there isn't one patient, I mean, using a hospital building, using a school building, these are illegal under international law. And Hamas, of course, the rockets, by the way, have started up again from the south. There wasn't that long of a pause. There was somewhat of a pause, but now rockets again over the past several days being fired at Ashkelon and at Ashdod, just like they were at the beginning of the war and just like they were over the last 15, 20 years or so. But no condemnation at all on the fact that they're committing this double war crime, hiding in these facilities and firing behind their civilians, targeting Israeli civilians. Al Jazeera News, if you want to call it a real news station. It's really basically a mouthpiece of Hamas. The Qatar-based Al Jazeera News Channel came out with a story accusing Israeli soldiers of raping Arab women in Gaza. And then the story, of course, went viral, and all the Israel haters ran with it. And then a day later, Al Jazeera pulled the story, yet the damage was done. Damage was done. And again, this is a blood libel with so many people ripping on the state of Israel and the IDF, our brave soldiers, accusing them of rape. And, you know, sadly and ironically, when Hamas, in fact, did carry out these types of crimes against Israeli women in the south, it took, what, several months before the UN even started looking into it or anybody was talking about it or major newspapers were reporting on it, yet Al Jazeera makes up these lies, and the world goes crazy, runs wild, accepts them as facts, just like they're accepting Hamas's numbers as facts in terms of those killed. I don't understand how major newspapers can take Hamas's numbers and run with them as if they are accurate or can be trusted, but that is the reality. That is what's going on right now. It looks really, really bleak, folks. right? From my descriptions, I mean, everything seems bleak. But at the end of the day, all right, at the end of the day, we are going to win this war. We're going to rid the world of the evil, which is Hamas, for the benefit of Israel and the entire world. So don't get me wrong. I know it sounds troubling and disturbing, and I'm just like looking over my notes on the subjects that I'm discussing with you here today, these news reports, and it certainly is troubling and disturbing. But we're going to press forward, even with the pressure. I pray we press forward, even with the pressure directed against us, and we will continue down the path of complete victory. And I guess turning back to the negative, again, just one last story here. The UN accuses Israel of genocide. If we didn't have enough on our plate, this UN special rapporteur, if that's how you pronounce it, Francesca Albanese, who's an Israel hater, a Jew hater, first class. Go to her X feed, Twitter feed, and see what this woman has to say. Francesca Albanese. See what she says, constantly ripping Israel. But she was slated to issue a report to the UN Human Rights Council accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza and recommending an immediate arms embargo on the country. I think did we mention it? Yeah, of course we mentioned it last week. We talked about how Canada decided they're not going to give Israel arms anymore. She wants Israel, again, referred to the International Criminal Court, all these different things, accusing Israel of genocide. And she is just an absolute, absolute horrible person and an Israel hater and a Jew hater, obsessed with what's going on here while ignoring true crimes against humanity taking place all over the world and ignoring what Hamas did to us on October 7th, only focusing on Israel and making up all of these lies. Just a complete disgrace, this woman. And if you have the stomach for it, go on to X and read what she has to say. Use the opportunity to respond to what she has to say, because you got to get the story straight. You got to get the facts out there. And this woman is completely abhorrent, the way she talks about the state of Israel. But that's just who she is. Let's finish with something positive. Again, you know, all this negativity, just to show you, just another example of how we are winning this war. The IDF yesterday confirmed that the deputy head of Hamas's military wing, Marwan Issa, was in fact killed in an airstrike in Gaza earlier this month. It was reported, and now it has been confirmed. So he is the number three in Hamas, who we took out, and now we need number one, and now we need number two. And I would add to that list those who are running the so-called political wing, which is a total joke because it's all one big terrorist organization. Those who are living with their billions in Qatar and Turkey and these other places, we're going to have to deal with them also at the right time. And that's really going to do it for today. This edition of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston, and get in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. Shout out to Ben Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Shout out to Tabitha Epstein for everything she does behind the scenes. Check out all of the amazing content here on the Land of Israel Network. Let's continue to pray for our IDF soldiers. Let's continue to pray that our hostages come home and Hamas releases the hostages. I mean, they're not going to release them on their own. We're going to have to go and get them. So let's pray for that. And let's pray for the end of the evil, which is Hamas. And then, of course, we're going to have to deal with Hezbollah as well, probably sooner rather than later. From beautiful Gush Etzion here in the hills of Judea, but where, by the way, it's actually a heat wave taking place here in Israel. I think winter is officially over. I'm very sad about that. I love the winter. It is starting to get hot, warm, not just in the south, not just in the north, in terms of the war, but in terms of the weather as well. It's starting to get warm here in the state of Israel. Wishing everyone a wonderful, wonderful week. Shalom, shalom. Only good things. All the best.